The kids are down in Florida and enjoying the weather down there. I guess yesterday was so hot it wasn't enjoyable. They went out and played miniature golf, and they would rather have been in than out. But there's a picture that they sent to us there with Coralie's parents, but it just happens that Dr. Micas and his wife and family live in the area. Maybe some of you remember Paul Micas and his wife and children. And so Paul Micas is a medical doctor and had joined a family group down there and enjoying that relationship with a group of Christian doctors. And enjoying now Dave and Coralie because they came down. The picture that they sent us, which really captured the heart of a father, adoptive father, is, shows Paul down on the beach with one of his adoptive babies. It's about this long, adopted from Ethiopia, I think. And the picture showed them absolutely enjoying the weather, enjoying the water and the waves. But I saw in that baby total trust that, I think it's a girl, her adoptive daddy was taking care of everything. This is, I don't know, the third or fourth adoptive child that they've brought home from Ethiopia. And they have, was it three children of their own, Betsy? Is that right?
At least three
plus three or four adoptives. And anyways, I was thinking about what a huge responsibility that they have undertaken. As you may know, those of you that have parented, a baby this long takes an awful lot of attention, you know, requires an awful lot, and they have not only done this once, but they have done it, I think, four times. And I think all... Okay. So... What you can't hear is that Paul and his wife bring in newborn babies that need care for a period of time, and they keep that baby for three or four years, and then release it. They take on the responsibility, heavy responsibility, for tiny little kids. And I think when we saw that picture and saw the families together and the family mix with Dave and his boys and their kids and their adoptive kids and their tag-along kids, I don't even know how many, but I said to Betsy, what a job. I just get tired looking at it because they have taken on the responsibility of these kids. And our Father in heaven took us on individually, and we are probably more costly to him than these kids are to their adoptive parents. And so Dave and Coralie are there. And it's interesting to us that yesterday evening Dave called and he was telling us about what their day entailed, including miniature golf in 120 degree weather, thinking that wasn't particularly fun. And but then he talked a little bit about Paul and some of the struggles that Paul has related to taking care of many more children than he would otherwise need to take care of. And the importance of a friend like Dave. Now, can you imagine Dave being supportive and helpful and sort of picking up the burden? Well, he came down there, and perhaps the major ministry or major importance of his trip to Florida was to spend several hours with Paul and encourage him in the work of the ministry which he has undertaken. So I'd just like us to bless Paul and the family there, and Dave as they continue to minister to that family. Father, we thank you for Paul Micas and the family that he is carrying the load of. We speak blessing to them. May they be encouraged today, encouraged by a sense of well-being because you are present. May the power of your presence lift them up, strengthen their hands, we pray, in Jesus' name. May Dave and Coralie also be an encouragement and life to them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you got this guy named Paul, and he's a doctor. And as it turns out, one of the reasons that he's in Florida is that in New York State, there's so many stupid rules about how to doctor and, you know, how you have to squeeze all your doctoring into a certain amount of time and blah, 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 that Paul, with the heart of a true doctor, could hardly deal with it. So he went down and he's in a practice down there where he can actually take care of people and doctor them and love them in the process. Okay, so this is Paul. That's what Paul does for a living. And on the side, Paul has his own kids. And on the side, Paul adds other kids to the mix. And on the side, Paul ministers in various ways, including every once in a while some guy from the north, maybe like, you know, a guy named George or whatever, will call him up and say, Dr. Paul, I need some thoughts and help. I got somebody that I'm working with that needs help over here. Can you just talk me through it? And Paul's always available to pour into somebody that just calls him up. Let me just say something about Paul. Paul has diversified his ministry portfolio. You see that? He puts into here and over there and over there and over there. And yeah, he gets used up in the process. But there's something good about being diverse in your portfolio, okay? If you have a retirement account or whatever, and somebody's watching over it for you, one of the things they'll tell you is to diversify your portfolio, is to actually have investments across different arenas, okay? And actually, today's message, we're going to get to that a little bit as we go. It's about the diversification of your portfolio, okay? Because it's an important process. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you. Please don't drop me here because I've said some of these things before. But let me say to you this. God created a universe. He made space and time so that he could have Shelley in the middle of space and time, so that he could take her and promote her into an eternal being and to bless her with daughtership, that she'd be one of his kids eternally, beyond, you know, space and time collapses back into nothing, the nothing from which it came, it goes away. But the sons and daughters of God are eternal. He built this thing as a womb for you. Don't lose me yet, don't lose me yet. And inside that womb, let me just tell you, he's interested not just in birthing you, but in promoting you and increasing you. He's interested in investing in you and receiving a return from you such that he can further you, so that he can increase you. You see, it's to the glory of God that he glorifies you. Did you understand that? Did you hear what I just said? It's to the glory of God that he glorifies you. It's amazing what he does. And yes, it's crazy ridiculous that out of nothing he creates something, and in that nothing, something, he creates someone who becomes a child of his. That's glorious. But he wants more for you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. John chapter 15 is fairly familiar to most of us. It's the Abide chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, is how verse 1 starts. The word true there means the manifest, okay? Clearly unconcealed, okay? That's what the word means there. I am the manifest vine. I'm this manifestly fruitful vine, he could have said, and it would have been true. And my Father is the farmer. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And let me just say that this whole chapter, most of the chapter, really does focus around the notion of bearing fruit. You were built into his vine. You were grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ himself so that you could bear fruit. He intentionally grafted you in. He intentionally, when you graft a branch in, some of the juice from the main plant starts to go into you, right? And he intentionally puts his juices in you so that you can bear fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. That word prunes can also be cleanses. So he takes that branch and he cleanses it or prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. He doesn't want it to be useless. I know sometimes in my yard I let a tree or a shrub get too messy and it becomes less healthy. But if you prune it, it becomes stronger and produces more fruit. Then he goes on to say, you are already clean or pruned. You're already clean or pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. And that word is logos. You see, when you receive the logos of God, the word of God, the plan of God, the whole message of God, the stuff that God is speaking to you, which is himself, when you receive that, certain things fall off and you're cleaned and pruned by that process. We'll remember that in a moment or two. Then we start with the abides. The word abide, sometimes it's translated continue, remain. There's another one that's common. I can't think of what it is at the moment. But remain. One of the translations that I really like is be present. Be present. Okay, so be present. Continue to be present in me. That's what Jesus is saying. You stay connected. Be present in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, is present, is continuously present in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, if you take the branch off and put it back on, take it off, put it back on, take it off, put it back on, it's not going to be a fruitful vine. But if it continues to be connected, continues to be present with the Lord, then there's nothing that can happen that will prevent fruit from happening. Did you hear what I just said? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who continues to be present in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Period. That's the deal. That's how it works. It will happen. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, i.e., if you continue to be present in me, and if my words, this time it's rhema, the stuff that I'm uttering to you in the moment here, if my utterances, if I am abiding in you, and if you abide in me, that is, if you continue to be in my presence, and if my words, my rhema, continues to be in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know, people get all worried about the ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's true. If you're in the presence of God, if you're remaining and continuing there, and if you are awash in his word, the things that he is speaking right then, let me just tell you something. Whatever you wish will come to pass. Guess what? Because you'll be wishing exactly what he's saying and doing right there. Okay? Here's the truth. If you continue to be present in him, and his utterances are washing through you, they're continuing to be present in you, then ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I have a lot of scriptures to get through today, so I'm sorry that I'm going a little bit fast, but feel free to stop me with a hand or a question or a comment, okay, please. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Isn't it good to know his love? Can I tell you something? One of the best things in the whole universe, probably the best thing in the whole universe, is to receive his love, to know his love, to really, really be immersed in his love. So that's what he says to do. He says, abide in my love. Continue to be present. You know, have you ever had been in a conversation with you and maybe your mind is wandering? And so the person says, hey, could you be present with me? Okay? The point is, be focused, stay here, connect with me. I want to talk to you. I'm with you. Be present with me. It's not just sort of like, are you there? It's, are you really there? Be present with me. And here he's saying, be present in my love. Abide in my love. He goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, or you keep my commands, what does the word keep mean again? I forgot. Oh yeah, keep. That's right, it means keep. If you keep my commands, if you hold on to those things that he has commanded you, you will be present, abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide and present in his love. We're going to get to another one where he doesn't say keep, but do, okay? So understand, there's a distinction between keeping and doing, okay? I know I bash this into our heads because we need to remember that we are not under law, but we are under grace. But there's a purpose for grace too, so let's watch it. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and abided in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be abiding in you, be present, continually present in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my command. Okay, so he's telling you that you should keep his command, right? Here it is. You ready? This is my command, that you love one another. Trust me when I say to you that we're not getting far away from fruit here, because love comes out. Fruit comes out of love received and love retransmitted. You see, the substance that is transmitted through the veins of that vine is the very love of the Father through the vine of Jesus, through you, and then out of you into the fruit that goes forward. I'll keep on. This is my command, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Greater love, listen to this, carefully listen to it. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You know that Jesus laid down his life not for his friends, but from people that were rejecting him. Maybe even you could consider them his enemies at some times. Right? Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. But here it says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. In your life, Jocelyn, in your life, who are your friends? Start close. Who are your friends? Your family, okay, all right, so you've got a husband, you've got some sons, okay, you've got some siblings-in-law and nieces and nephews, right, you know, parent, you know, okay, go on, who else, who's your friends?
People that live in my house that aren't related.
People living in your house that aren't related, okay, those are your friends, okay. So now, before we go any further, I'd just like to know, how can you lay down your life for your friends? Okay, so you can serve them in, you know, perhaps even a menial task of, you know, essentially
making coffee.
Okay, so you can make coffee and thus lay your life down for your friends. One of the ways, okay, and I appreciate your help here, one of the ways that you lay your life down for your friends are you don't do what you were going to do and you do what they need or want or whatever, right? And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Many of us, most of us perhaps, here, have laid down our lives for our friends in significant ways. You know? I can think of numerous of you, especially parents among you, that have could have pleased yourselves, but instead you spent your life elsewhere. Okay? Now, you didn't die on a cross. Okay? At least not a physical one that could give you slivers, but you did lay your life down for your friends. Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Remember that. That's a key issue as we're thinking. You're my friends. Okay, so now he's going to define friends, which is, to me, this kind of just struck me. You're my friend if you do what I tell you to do. What? Do you hear that? You're my friend if I do what you tell... What? I thought friends just, like, got along. Where am I missing something here? I thought friends were just, like, doing whatever they wanted to do and just enjoy being together, right? You're my friend if you do what I command you. Okay, notice that he calls us to keep his commands. And he'd like to not call us slaves. He'd like to call us friends. And the way that we can get called friends is if we do what he says. Okay? It's not just keeping it, but doing it. All right? I wanted you to see that there's promotion available there. And he's interested in having that you be promoted. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all the things that I've heard from beside my father I have known, made known to you. I'm going to try to get done with this section real quick because I have some other things I want to share with you. But it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus chose Jocelyn and appointed her that she would go and that she would bear fruit. The purpose, one of his purposes in choosing Jocelyn is to appoint her to bear fruit. Is that selfish of him? Is that selfish of God to expect fruit from Jocelyn? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see, the fruit that Jocelyn bears, yes, it's good for God, okay? It is, okay? He likes the sons and daughters that get produced through the fruitful vine named Jocelyn. He likes that. That's good for him. It satisfies his heart. But he could have done that without her. He does it through her because he wants to promote her and bless her. He loves her so much that he says, stay present in me. Stay present in my love, in my joy, so that you will produce many, much fruit, many connections, much further thing. All right, so his purpose is completely to promote Jocelyn. That is his deal. I forget where the scriptures say that he could have raised up for himself sons of Abraham out of these rocks or something like that. If he wanted to, he could do it any way he wanted to. He chose Jocelyn. I chose you. I appointed you so that you could go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Now that fruit that would remain, the word remain is the same abide word, okay? So that your fruit would continue to be present in the presence of God and his love and in his joy. So that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. All right, so this I want you to see and understand that when he says love one another, he's not changing topics. Okay? So here we have Dr. Paul Lycus, and he has a number of shoots off from him, and God's pouring his goodness into the vine that we could name Paul Lycus, and off from there, juices are flowing down this tube or that tube, right? Now we have a guy named Dave Osborne. And I happen to know that Dave Osborne gets calls from Paul Lycus. And Dave Osborne loves Paul Lycus. Dave Osborne loves. Did I say loves? Pours the love of God through the vine of Dave Osborne into the vine of Paul Lycus. Love one another is just simply saying, the same stuff I've put into you, I want you to pour out to other people. Let them abide in your love. Go ahead. Let them abide in you. Me, you, us. Our good stuff pouring through you. I command you that you love one another. Okay, very good. So I want to talk to you, and again, I've got much to talk about today. Fortunately, I've got hours before the day is out. Okay, it's really wonderful. Okay, the principles of eternal reward is really what I'm after. And most of these I've taught many of you before, so I'm going to refer to much, and if you have questions, feel free to ask or ask me later. Underlying mechanisms, pruning. The truth is that he cleans you up so that you can be productive. He cleans you up of your junk, your stupid things, your sins, your dumb attitude, blah, 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 all that. And he cleans you up of wrong ways of spending your time and effort, blah, blah, blah. He prunes you by his word. He speaks his word to you to clean you up. As he said to his disciples, you are already pruned, cleaned, because of the word I have spoken to you. The underlying mechanism is pruning. Another underlying mechanism is being present. Can I just tell you something? So much of our lives, we spend worrying about, you know, tomorrow, or worrying about this, or worrying about that, that's not here and now. Okay, and I understand, and we gotta be somewhat thoughtful of this, that, and the other thing, and the rent will be due, you know, come the first, okay? You know, I get it, okay? But be present in Him. Be present in Him. Be present in His love. Be present in His joy. I'm going to tell a story on Jocelyn that Jocelyn doesn't know that I'm going to tell on her. I just heard about it today. It's a fun story. And the story is that she was out shopping, and she's in a checkout line, and there's a woman not doing well physically. It's obvious. There's quite a few people around. But she felt like the Lord asked her to pray for this woman. Okay, so now, the only reason she heard that is because she was present in the Lord in the checkout line, okay? I waited till she checked out, then I asked if I could. She was polite and said that I could and started to leave. You know how they do that, right? You know, oh, you're going to pray for me later, right? Yeah, no, I'm going to pray for you now. So I started praying for her right then and there. She was polite enough to wait for me. Ha ha, we both went our separate ways. Okay, so she just did something. She just sewed a little something, all right? So then she's off on some other errand in some other location, okay? And she pulls her van up to pick up somebody else, okay? And this same woman shows up, opens the door to her van, and jumps in. Am I getting this more or less right? And you know, but I think everybody probably was a little surprised, right? You know, I sort of like recognize you. Yes, hello. I wonder if that was random. What you know, does God operate underneath quantum mechanics or above? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that God rules through random. And if you want to call it random, I'll call it God. Okay? So God shows up and she has another chance to find out a little bit more and bless and love this one girl. Okay, but let me just say, it's because she was present.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, the woman jumped into the car by mistake. She thought it was her daughter's car. Okay, so she didn't jump into the car because she thought it was Jocelyn. She jumped into the car because she thought it was her daughter's car. Everything's a mistake. Everything's random, except Jocelyn was present in the presence of God. Jocelyn was present in the love of God. Jocelyn was present in the joy of God. And she shared a little something with some level of boldness. And the connection, who knows? Okay, you know, we don't have the end of the story. Okay, this just happened like a week or two ago, right? We don't have the end of the story, but the reality is, be present. This is a principle of eternal reward. Be present. While being present in Him, and while His rhema is being present in you, ask whatever you will. This is a principle of eternal reward. I'm just giving it to you. So she asked whatever she willed, okay, in the presence of God and His rhema. Okay? All right, fair enough. And while keeping, what does keep mean? Keeping His commands, you will be being present in His love and thus His joy. Keep them. You know, it's like holding on to His promises. Grab them. Keep them. Believe that His commands will be accomplished in your life. He'll do them eventually. He'll get them done. Be abiding. Be continuously present in His love. That means, yes, a receptive thing. That's you receiving his love, right? But it's also you giving his love. These are some principles of eternal rewards. But one that I just want to say is love. Love your friends. Whoever happens to be living in your world, you know, lots of times, for many of us, it's our kids, okay, that we just pour out into, okay? Several of us, it's our spouses or maybe our parents I have kids that pour into their parent, me, okay? So they treat me like a friend and they lay their life down for me. And that's a big deal. Because greater love has no man than this. That they lay their life down for, it's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. So those are some underlying mechanisms. We could go into more and maybe we will in a little while. But there's some results that I want to talk about. The result is you are present in Jesus. That's a good result. Yes, that's both a mechanism and a result, okay? Let me just say something. You could hardly get a better result than being present in God, okay? But that's a great result. You're there. You're in. You're with Him. You're in His love. You're present in His joy. You're a friend of His. And then, of course, there's the fruit. The fruit is other people who are likewise present in Jesus and His love and His joy. You guys have heard me preach out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident. This is that second tier of judgment that I've taught about. The first tier is the Lamb's Book of Life. The second tier is the works, the basis on the works. And the great thing for us is it's a judgment by fire. It's wonderful, okay? Revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Here's the deal. The stuff that you're doing, the fruitfulness that you're doing as you live your life, that is the gold, silver, precious stones. That's the good stuff. Got you and God together, build eternal reward and eternal profit. The stuff that you do, that's just, you know, you being an idiot, okay? That's, you know, burned up, and fortunately it just all goes away before eternity happens. Hallelujah. Thank God for His good judgment. Okay? Those are the results. But what are some approaches now? Let's talk about eternal reward and approaches. The approaches really aren't a whole lot different either. Being present. Can I just say that our biggest problem is we do an awful lot of, spend an awful lot of time not being present in the Lord and in His love and in His joy. And there's an area where there's a couple areas in my own life where this really convicted me, where I'm not as present as I want to be, because I recognize that being present in Him, in His love and in His joy, is my mechanism, is an approach, a mechanism for receiving a fruitful lifestyle. Further approaches to love. And you know what? Let me just say, you can't love without Him. You can't love without His presence. You can't expect the vine that's disconnected from the main vine to pour out any juice to the next vine down. It just doesn't work that way. You gotta stay in His love, be abiding in His love, be receiving His love in order to pour out His love. That's how it works. And serving. Can I just tell you something? Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. You know that He said that? That means we get to do the same. And sometimes that just looks like, you know, making the coffee. Or cleaning up somebody's mess. Again. For the umpteenth time. Anybody ever clean up somebody's mess for the umpteenth time? Come on, we've done it. Let me just say that serving is that, okay? And that's loving. And it can be done right out of abiding, right out of being in His presence. So let me just say to you, when you go get your, you know, you know, whatever it is. I use Wegmans brand. 407 or your whatever the squirt is and your paper towels to go and do the cleanup that you got to do, okay? You grab the stuff. Be in his presence. Okay, why? Because it's an opportunity for fruitfulness. And watch for those. Watch for those. There's some other areas that I want to talk to you about. Prayer, teaching, and ministry. Can I just say to you, you have the capacity. You. I'm not talking about the person sitting beside you. You have the capacity to pray. You have the capacity to teach. Don't you dare to argue with me. You want to argue with me? Go ahead. I'll win the argument. I'll beat you down. Okay? You have the capacity to teach. And you have the capacity to minister. Want to know why? Because God's inside of you. He has spoken His life and truth into you. If you will be but present in His presence, you have that stuff to give. I'll show it to you in a moment, but it's true. You have those potentials. Now, I really feel like I want to talk to you about a principle, and I don't want you to misunderstand the principle that I'm bringing to you. There's a principle of generosity that I want you to really understand. And it's underutilized, and I just want us to leverage it as much as possible. Now, when I talk about generosity, I want you to understand I'm not specifically talking about finances. There are a number of scriptures in the Bible that talk about financial generosity. And they're true, okay? I mean, it's true that being financially generous is wonderful. And let's face it, you guys are, okay? I want you to know I appreciate your faithfulness in the finances and your generosity that I see. And I'm sure that I don't see all of it. I'm sure that there's generosity well beyond what I see. But I want you to understand that the same principle that applies to finances applies in many other dimensions as well. And that principle is a principle of generosity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says this, "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." So let me just say to you that when you give, God sees that, and He makes sure of something. Yes, that's true financially. But let me say, when you clean up that mess for the umpteenth time, guess who cleaned up your mess for the umpteenth time and is willing to do it umpteenth more times for you? Okay? And maybe you don't need that mess cleaned up anymore. Maybe you don't make that mess anymore. Are you ready for Him to water you or prosper you in some other way? Then keep watching. Let me just say that there's a principle of pouring out His love. Now, in many forms. And again, I know you guys do, okay? You give here and you give here. And I'm here to encourage you. You're doing what you should do. And I'm here to encourage you to continue to diversify. The verse just before that in Proverbs says this, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more." The word "scatters" there really doesn't suggest planting a seed in a nice, clean furrow. Well, it works too, and that's good, okay? But sometimes you should also diversify. And so, maybe you're good at serving your kids. So be in His presence and ask the Lord about your neighbors. Or maybe you're good at serving in general, but we ask the Lord about a little bit of teaching that He has for you to do. Okay? I was just talking to Nick today and telling Nick that God has some teaching for him to do. Yeah, that Nick right there. Yeah, that you. Yeah. Yes, you did. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Nick's not that comfortable, maybe. I mean, Nick's very comfortable serving. He does it all the time. I don't know if you know, but he comes in here and gets the whole thing all started up and makes things work, and yay! I this morning I came in kind of late, and I was just like, oh, I'm so glad Nick exists, okay? He's good at serving, okay? And so the Lord is promoting him in service, and He's promoting him now in teaching, okay? Now, that's a little less comfortable. That's all right. He'll get over it. The next thing you know, he's going to be teaching. Here's the deal. It's valuable for Nick to diversify his eternal rewards portfolio. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, Nick, like I say, he serves. That's a strong stock in his portfolio. I'm grateful for it. And it will provide him with eternal rewards. I'm sure of it. Okay? But I want to see Nick grow in some other area. I want to see him have some other fruitful endeavors. A diversification of his portfolio. Where should you diversify your portfolio? Just a good question. Well, let me just give you the hint. Abide. Be present in him. Be present in his love. Be present in his joy. And then go ahead and ask. Be present in his rhema, his word. Let it wash over. And then go ahead and ask for new things where you get to pour out. Go ahead. It'll be done for you. It's good news. You can relatively adroitly diversify your portfolio. In life, in serving, in praying, in teaching, in ministering, in loving, in a billion different ways. I just want to encourage you. You've done well. You've done well. The Father sees it and wants to promote you. All right, so let's talk about that. Well, I know that's a call in my life as well. And, I definitely want to hear this call. And personally, I want to diversify and continue to reach in different ways. Paul was emailing me earlier this week about some other opportunities that she sees coming up. Okay, good. I'm ready to diversify. I'm ready to do some more. And pour out. Abide in. Receive. Be present in his love. And love. Okay? Let them be present in his love. Okay, so very quickly, going to go rocking through two. Very quickly, I want to go through two parables of Jesus. I'm not going to get into all the details. If you want more details on these, please feel free to talk to me. The first is the parable of the minas. In both of these, the master gives the slaves a hunk of change, and each of the slaves goes off and does something, and then comes back and it receives reward or punishment on the basis of those things. In the first one, it's the parable of the minas, and each slave gets one mina. Okay, in this, there's 10 slaves, each one gets one mina. Now, a mina is worth, maybe a 3-4 months' salary, plus or minus. Okay, I'm just vague terms. Okay, because I know different people make different money, whatever. But it's 3 months. Let's just call it 3 months. Okay. So it's this much money. Okay, which means this much of your time, it's this much of your life. Okay, this much. Got it? That's a mina. In this situation, the master gives him, let's call it 3 months. And says, go do some business. And I'm going to examine the business that you've done. And in that situation, the first comes back and says, hey, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he says to him, well done, good slave. Because you've been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be an authority over 10 cities. Wow. That's quite a promotion. So this parable speaks of the promotion that God wants to do in your life in a reasonably short amount of time. Okay, this is something that can be practiced over and over again. Okay, so he says, here's a mina. You bring him back, let's just say 10 minas. And he says, whoa, you're good. I'm gonna take you and this is a good investment. I'm gonna not just double down or triple down or tenfold down. And instead of a mina, which is worth, whatever I said, 3 months worth of work, I'm gonna give you some cities. Wow. Let me just say that when he sees you faithful in a small thing, he will give you in this lifetime more to be faithful with. Why? Because he wants you to be faithful with that so that he can give you more to be faithful with, right? Because he just wants to promote you. He wants to give you more and give you more and give you more. It's not saying that it was easy to go from 1 minded to 10. Probably wasn't. It was probably a pain. It was probably a lot of effort and a lot of cleaning up messes and a lot of hurt and injury and questions and late nights and early mornings and who knows what all, right? Quickly, we're going to go to the next one, okay? Well, let me say, before we go away from the parable of the minas, the one that decided to do nothing with his mina, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. In other words, it's good to be fruitful with what he gives you, because he's looking for fruitfulness, and he'll give it to somebody else if not. If you don't want to deal with it, he'll give it to somebody else to do, okay? Fact. Okay, and in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there's the second parable. This is the parable of the talents. Now, a talent is worth far, far more than a mina, okay? A talent is decade or decades worth of life, okay? And so we're talking about maybe even most of your, you know, productive life quantity, okay? I mean, it could be the whole of your life that we're talking about when we talk about a talent. And here each gets an amount according to his ability, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, okay? So there's a different amount given to each. And let's face it, you know, some of us have been Christians for decades and some of us have been Christian for you know, a few years or whatever, okay? The truth of the matter is that each of us is given different strengths and values that we are, and then based on those different strengths and values, the Father is looking for a return on his investment, okay? And so the Master gives each of them according to his ability, and then in the end, there's a slightly different kind of judgment. Instead of, well, the guy says, one of them says, you know, you gave me 5, see, I've gained 5 more, okay? And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So this is speaking much more of sort of end of life, okay? This is your whole life before you. And God says, I've given you some stuff. What you done with it? And you say, you know, I've done this. He says, great, you know what? And it's sort of vague. I'll put you in charge of many things. I don't know what those many things are. That's outside of this. That's beyond here. It's a little bit larger than the scope of my understanding, okay? And he says, well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Boop, we're out of here. But there's a reward that goes beyond. So inside, there's rewards that can continue. Every 3 months, a mina's worth or whatever, okay? That promotion inside. And then there's a promotion that goes outside. And in the outside, the guy that basically said, you know what, I'm not interested in investing your stuff, he basically didn't make it. That's a bad idea. But that's not you anyway. You're the ones that are already investing well. Let me just now quickly go to another story, and I feel like it's a useful story for us when we're considering the diversification of our eternal rewards portfolio, okay? And this is where Jesus was walking along a path and he decided to diversify his portfolio, okay? You'll see how Jesus did that in a moment. Jesus left Judea, he went away into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground where Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour, and there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Jesus was diversifying his portfolio. Right there. Watch. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? Jesus kind of violated 2 things, sort of. One, she was a woman, and they didn't want to chat back and forth very much. But the biggest one was, oh my goodness, Jews and Samaritans never, you know, got along. There was a geopolitical divide, and Jesus violated that horribly, okay? He just walked right over top of it, okay? Wouldn't operate under the norm. He operated outside of the norm. The truth is that Jocelyn in the checkout line violated, you know, social norms twice. First by asking the chick to be able to pray for her, and second by expecting she was going to do it right there. Okay, she violated the geopolitical norms. Okay, that's okay. Lots of times when we're in His presence and awash in His rhema, we don't obey the societal norms or rules or PC approaches to things. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have drawn you water, living water. We guys know the conversation that goes back and forth. She says, you don't have anything to draw from. He says, everyone that drinks of this water will thirst again, but if I give you water, you'll never drink again. Sir, give me this water. I'd love some of that stuff. He says, go call your husband. Uh-oh. He's really fishing hard, isn't he? He's getting there. He's working his way in. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, what does Jesus say? You're right. I have no husband. For you have had five. And the person that you're with, the guy you're with right now, is not your husband. This you said truly. So here you've got a woman that, she's in a bit of a jam, probably, in her life. She's had five husbands. We don't really know how many guys she's been with before, but at the moment, she's with some guy that she's not married to, okay? And in the time, this was not a very happy confession. I'm not sure that it'd be a particularly happy confession today, okay? It's not a pleasant thing for her to be able to have to say, you know, I have no husband. And Jesus says, well, this is who you are and this is how you've done life. And He's diversifying His portfolio with this woman. Notice this. He is. We'll go on and we'll see it. Woman says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. I think that's just, that always makes me laugh because she's like, oh, really? You think so, do you? Okay, wow. He just told her deepest, darkest secrets and she thinks he's a prophet. Hallelujah. He goes on to talk to her about some ways of worship, and the woman said, I know. Listen to what the woman said. I know that the Messiah is coming, He who is called the Christ. And when that one comes, He will declare all things to us. She knew something. Remember that, because we're going to need that fact to understand what happens later. She knew something. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. I'm the guy. I'm the Messiah. And she had a revelation of who Jesus was in that moment. Now, there was possibilities before. She knew there was a Messiah coming. But she saw and understood that Jesus was that. At this point, the disciples come. They're amazed that He's speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why do you speak to her? So the woman left her water pot. What? She came to get water. Can I just say something? She got pruned. She got pruned. Something that was important to her stopped being important. It was water, okay? I'm pretty sure water is important to everybody, okay? You kind of have to drink, okay? But water didn't matter anymore, okay? Somehow or another, maybe she got a little draft of that living water, and she didn't need the water that she was coming to get so much. She got pruned a little bit, right there. Do you see that? The word that He spoke pruned her. Furthermore, it pruned her of some other things, as we'll go on and see. So she left her water pot, she went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things I have done. You know, maybe a little bit of shame got pruned too, I'm pretty sure. Because here she is talking. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and they were coming to Him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, Rabbi, eat. And He says, I have food you don't know of. What did He get to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. He was present. He was present. So the guys left Jesus at the well and went into the city. And on the way there, they passed a woman. She got out of the way because they had important business to do. And they went on to do their important business. Right? They missed it because they weren't present. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Jesus didn't miss it. He was present. Do you not say, Jesus is talking, do you not say there are yet 4 months a line is worth? Okay, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. They're ready right now. Let me just say to you, still true today. Fine. You got stuff to come in three, four months? Good. There's stuff for today. There's stuff for today. Already he who reaps is receiving wages. Who's reaping? Who's reaping in the scene right there? Who's reaping? Jesus. Jesus is reaping. He had gotten this woman into a place of understanding some little thing, a revelation of who he was. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. That's what he's doing. So that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Oh, who's he who sowed? What's that? Well, yeah, she did eventually. I agree with you. But who sowed into her life? Well, Jesus did a little bit, but he reaped. And in a minute, he says, for in this case, the saying is true, one who sows and another reaps. So who are they? Who? Well, I'm going to tell you, this lady knew something about the Messiah. Okay? I don't know who that was, okay? I don't know who it was that had told her that there was a Messiah coming, but somehow when she had Jesus in front of her, she actually knew the question to ask. You know, like, is this like Messiah type stuff that you're doing with me here? Okay? And he says, I'm he. And she understood and she knew who he was. Somebody had sown. I don't know who it was. It might have been Jocelyn in the checkout line. I don't know. But the reality was somebody sown, somebody reaps. In this case, Jesus was reaping. Of course, Jesus is sowing too. And you're exactly right, Bonnie, because the next thing you know is the woman is sowing. Let me just say, Jesus picked a pretty good portfolio diversification, okay? Because the next thing you know, you got this chick who's a mess in her life going around and spreading the news about Jesus. That's pretty good. The next thing you know, she's got fruit. Because these guys are all coming out to see Jesus. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. So Jesus stayed in this place for 2 days, ministering to the people, to her disciples. To her disciples. The people she brought in. To her fruit. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Can I just say something to you? Diversify. Jesus did. Diversify widely and broadly and in different ways than you have before. Jesus did. He took people that the disciples maybe, you know, scooched over far on the side of the road because they reckon, oh, that's the woman with the 5 husbands and, you know, she's not even living, I mean, what a mess, you know, I'm gonna, you know, be on the right hand side of this road. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I can only imagine. Jesus saw her. Jesus loved her, offered to get her water instead of him, after he asked for water, and then gave her himself. He loved her. Jesus diversified his portfolio with a woman whose life was a mess, who maybe had been given a shred of truth from someplace else, but then who received a revelation of Jesus, and then who went and shared what she had. You know, no, we don't need to share more than whatever God gives us. You know, when Nick teaches, Nick doesn't need to teach, you know, physics 608, okay? You don't need to teach, you know, high-end physics. You don't. It's okay. You teach what you got. You give what you got. You love with what you have. You've been given something, and from that something, you can give. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7. Now I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is actually in a context of financial, okay? But let me tell you, the principle applies to every diverse way that you can pour out with generosity in your world and in your life. Those ways of loving, those ways of serving, the different avenues of diversification, those are all areas where the more you pour out, the more eternal reward is on the line, and it's delightful. Let me say to you, we've been taught, I think, to worry a little too much. Okay? We're worried that, you know, maybe I won't say it perfectly. Or we're worried that, if I meet the woman at the well and, you know, I tell her a little bit about Jesus and she runs off and talks to her friends about Jesus, she probably won't get it all right. Right? She probably didn't. Okay? Jesus wasn't worried about that. He wasn't worried about that. There's a parable that seems apropos to this in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus presented another parable to them saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away." As you know the story goes on, and the tares and the wheat come up. The servants come and say, "Oh, dear, dear, there's tares among your wheat. Shall we pull out all the tares?" And the master says, No. You'll probably pull out some good stuff too while you're doing it. Don't do that. We'll let them mature and we'll separate it at reaping." And that is how we should think as well. We don't have to have... We don't have to wait till the woman at the well has finally married that, you know, 10th guy she's with. Okay? Don't got to do that. Don't got to figure that one out. Okay? That God will figure that. The Holy Spirit will lead her into all truth. Okay? No problems. No problems. Holy Spirit's got that one. Okay? We got to pour in bountifully. So richly. And then expect her to sow richly too. And you know, there'll come a time when she'll look back and say, "Boy, when I first told all those guys, you know, about Jesus, boy, did I screw up what I said. But, you know, somehow or another, God was glorified in it." And you say, "You know what? High fives. There's fruit in there. There's fruit in there." My word, my message to us: be present in the Lord. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be present in the Lord. Number two, be present in His love. Be receiving His love. Be present in His joy. Pouring out all that you're present in. You see, when you're present in Him and His love and His joy, that's the stuff that can come out of you. When you're connected to Him. Go ahead, question.
Like beside yourself, they have a
I'm not sure how to apply that, but let me just say this, that wherever we are, we have the option of just, you know, gazing at our navel or being aware of the presence of God who is with us to accomplish good in that moment, in that situation. Where we are, in that circumstance, there's something to be done. So often, the fruitful things that happen aren't really designed. They don't come out of you deciding that you're going to build up this machine that produces fruit. It comes out of you being available to God in the middle of whatever it is you're doing and God doing a fruitful thing.
I was just thinking about times when I have done nothing except for recognize that the Lord is with me. Like I'll walk into a room and I'll recognize the Lord is with me. And I don't say anything, but somehow a conversation will start. And it really wasn't anything more than I recognized that God was with me. And I just kind of waited, knowing that He was there and something's going on, and then He'll start something.
You know, you guys, many of you know that, you know, I've got various little ministries here and there that happen. And often for me, Well, honestly, the ministries that are in China, Kenya, started because I was loving my granddaughter. I mean, honestly, I was serving and loving my granddaughter. That was what I was actually doing. Yes, I was present with the Lord in that process, but the catalyst for the whole thing really was I was loving and serving a 2-year-old little girl. That's it. Another situation I remember on an airplane, you guys remember the story maybe, I just was going to give up a good seat for a bad seat because I wanted to love and serve my kids. Boom. Stuff happens. Interactions go. Present with the Lord, that's it. That's all. That's all. And it's not, I mean, it's almost so stinking dumb. I'm doing dumb things. Things that anybody could know how to do. Pick up child, hold child. Okay? Wow. Put child on shoulders because arms are getting tired. Okay? Wow. Walk along and joy together. Wow. And God. Okay? So often, the real stuff that happens is just simply being present with Him in whatever, in normal, I don't know what you were shopping for at that store, okay? But it didn't matter. You were present with God while shopping for something, okay? In the mundane, dumb parts of life, you're there with God, okay? It's one of the things that we need to always remember. Abide. Be present with God. Be present in His love. Be present in His joy in the middle of whatever we're doing. That's point one. Point two, be aware that you are always, let me just say, your service, your love, your prayers, your teaching, your ministry, I missed one, all of those things are rooted in His love and in His goodness, okay, His stuff that's coming in, and they're ready to be poured out. And you, wherever you are, if you're with Him and awash in His word, out it goes. Ask whatever you will. Ask whatever you will. And diversify. Again, I want to encourage you. I encouraged Nick this morning. I said, I think it's time for you to, you know, it was a certain circumstance. I think some teaching that needs to happen. Yeah, probably you're right. I think you're right, Nick says. That's what I've been thinking. I want to chat with you some more. Good. Good. We'll chat. Okay? But here's the deal. Don't let your normal hold you back from diversification. Okay? Be present instead. Because, let me just say, let's think about Dave and Paul Mikus for a moment. Okay? So Dave lifts up Paul Mikus and supports Paul Mikus via telephone from New York to Florida, okay, on a not very regular, pretty irregular basis. Dave has stock in Paul Mikus Incorporated from an eternal standpoint, okay? Somebody spoke something to the woman at the well when she was a little girl, or maybe when she was a woman, who knows, I don't know when. Somebody had stock in her. That stock looked like it was a penny stock, let me tell you. It didn't look worth much, okay? And then somebody, Jesus, came along and sowed in or watered or reaped. And boom, that stock just went through the roof. And the person who had put that little bit of something in had valuable stock, not just in the woman, but in all of those Samaritan men that came to Jesus. The reality is, as you pour out these those that you pour out, it's like everybody wins. Can I just tell you something? Paul Mikus loves Dave too. And Paul Mikus pours into Dave. Paul's got stock in David Osborne Eternal Reward Incorporated. Okay? He's got stock. There's an eternal reward that accrues to Paul's account. Because he encourages my brother Dave. Right? Do you see what I'm trying to say? There's an amazing ability for us to pour the goodness of God into many, many, many lives. And you know what? Maybe there'll be some tares and maybe there'll be some wheat. And according to a different parable, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, right? You know what? Some of them produce a little. Some of them produce a lot. There is one who scatters. There is one who scatters. And I'll quote it right. And yet increases all the more. Be present. Be present in the Lord and scatter. Okay? And diversify your portfolio. Lord, we just come before you. And we trust you to help us. We set our minds and our eyes and our hearts on you. We choose to be present with you. We choose to receive your love. We choose to receive even your joy. We choose to receive expectation for the goodness that you will do through us to make us fruitful vines in your kingdom. Diversify us even. To the extent we're able to handle it, Lord, diversify us so that we can pour out your goodness and love into more situations and more lives. Lord, give us wisdom about how even to serve and how to teach and how to what words to speak and when to maybe give some money or maybe to serve or maybe to pray or maybe to minister or whatever it is that you have for us. Give us your word. We want to be awash in your rhema and we want to diversify according to your plan. Prune us. Get rid of the junk and stupid things. Anything that's unfruitful in our lives, get rid of it for us, we do ask. And cause us, Lord, to be a lush plant, a lush vine, connected to you. In your kingdom, we pray. I bless these, your precious ones. Thank you, Lord, for their generosity of life, generosity of spirit. I just declare over them, I speak over them, just an increase over them. Increase for more. Increase. I just declare increase over them. I declare a blessing of increase over every person here and hearing this message. I declare increase, that they would be able to pour out more, that they would pour out more in branch after branch after branch, that there would be a spirit of generosity that would just pour out and pour out and pour out. In the name of Jesus, I declare this blessing. Amen. While I was blessing you, I was just reminded of one other quick principle that I'll just give you and then we'll get. And that is, often I have found that the Lord wants to... He grows the branch, and then he puts the sap through it, and then the fruit comes, okay? And so in other words, you have to grow the branch before you even have the sap to go with it, okay? So he sticks Nick in a spot where he's going to have to do a little bit of talking, teaching, before he's comfortable teaching. Okay, it's just God promoting, okay? But the point is, often he does the thing before you're ready, so that you can call on him and get ready to do. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And so very often, you start the process, you dig the foundations before you can buy the concrete, okay? And when the foundation's dug, he sends the concrete truck, okay? And then you get the plans laid out, and then he sends the wood. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's not, very often there's a little bit of a couple of quick steps that you got to take in a direction before you see the fruit. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And before you even have the fluid passing through the right channel to get the fruit. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So don't be afraid to branch before you can. Because guess what? The one inside you, he can. He can. And when I mean can, I mean what you can do. Just because you can't do it, that's all right. Do it anyway. All right? Or get started, or be willing, or move, or ask in His presence. And by His word, ask. And then be willing to take a step down a road that doesn't exist yet and see if the road happens as you get there. Because the truth is, often He's looking for one step and the road will be there and the juices from the main vine will push you along as you just take one step at a time down the road that didn't exist before you got there. It's okay. It's called faith. It's a good thing. Go there with Him. Let Him promote you. He wants to. He loves you. He loves to promote you. And He loves to diversify you so that you can be promoted optimally.
I'd like to recognize that just sometimes we would say, yeah, but. And anybody thought of that this morning at all? Yeah, but. I mean, that's all right for Jocelyn to do, but yeah, but, you know, not me. All right, good. It's all right. Can you say amen to that? It's all right for Jocelyn to do, but leave me out of this. Yeah, but. And besides that, I'm so screwed up. At least some of the time I'm screwed up. Did that thought process anybody? Oh, you did. Jocelyn, too. Yeah. Okay. And I just want to, I don't want to take much time, but I want to recognize that all of those thoughts that we had that might have had, yeah, but, yeah, I mean, but I've never done that before. How about that thought? Did that pass? I've never, you got to be kidding me.
Talking to somebody in the line, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you. And besides, it's easier for a woman to talk than it is for a man.
You can use it the other way around if you want. You know, it's easier for a man than a woman. It works either way. Okay.
We can find all kinds of excuses about why it won't work for us. And I want us to recognize something, that God knows all of those excuses and a few more. And He has an invitation for you, for each of us, to participate in what He's doing. Now, Jerry Fry, because I like to pick on him, Jerry Fry will live someplace, he will go someplace and be someplace and talk to some people that nobody else in this room will talk to. God has one person available in the place where nobody else in this room is going to be. That's Jerry Fry. Now, God may have other people that may impact some of those areas, but I want you to recognize that Jerry Fry is going to be involved in places where God wants to do something, and Jerry's the only one there that can do it, at least as far as we know. That's true of Jerry Fry, but it's also true of every one of us.
Let me just say something real quick, Dad, and that is that the woman at the well, it probably was her bus driver. They told her about
on the way to school one day.
The Messiah. You know what I'm trying to say? It could have been. You just
and she
never
was
know.
One of those screwed up kids. None like yours, but she was messed up. Yeah, right. Here's the deal. Each of us are going to participate in some area of life where we are the only one who carries the grace of God into that area. We don't even know where that area is or what it is. We have no clue. But each of us will walk into an area where there's a possibility for God to touch. And He's looking to us to be the instrument of that touch. And I want to just recognize that there's that reality for each of us. And the question is, are we willing to be available in that, be present?
I just want to say I was one of those ones that you guys touched, and I was broken, and I was lost, and I was unlovable. Even your message last week talked about a person walking around lost, and nobody would smile. And before I came to this church, I was that person, and I just wanted to share what God's done to me since. Even though I thought I knew Him before this, I had no clue until I got loved by God's people, and it was here.
Mm-hmm.
that I first got loved, and I started being able to love. I didn't love myself.
We find you very lovable, by the way. You're a sweetheart. The Apostle Paul said something that maybe we need to think about saying. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There will be a place somewhere this week where you will be the only one carrying the heartbeat of God into that place. And it might, and I'm serious about it. It could be a smile. It could be a pat on the back. It could be a Jocelyn thing. Did I pray with you? But the question is, are we willing to say, okay, I'll gamble this. I'll risk this. I'm going to say, I'm willing to be used if he's willing to use me. Kind of put it in his court. You better watch out. The ball's going to fly right at you. Because he will. The reason he brought you into his family was to hug you and kiss you and make you feel good and to use you to touch the lives of other people so that you can be laying up treasures in heaven, treasures which are valuable to him as well as to us. And so, Father, I do pray that we would be a people who would be willing to be used. Would you dare say, I'm willing? I'm willing to be used. If you think you can use me, I'm willing. Yeah, let's say that. If you think you can use me, I'm willing.
If you think you can use me, I'm willing.
Okay, Lord, we put it into your court and look to you to play the ball. We're willing. Now, show yourself mighty and use us and build your kingdom through the things that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. And all the people say?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.